Last week's lesson was how to be filled with the Spirit, right? How to live a Spirit-filled life. And then this week, it's the lesson is about how to receive the Holy Spirit. And this is good for us to know, like I said last week, because you may be in touch with people that may have been saved, may have been water baptized, but they have no idea about the Holy Spirit. They don't know that there is another area in the Christian life that God has gifted us with the Holy Spirit. He seals us with the Holy Spirit. But in order to receive the Holy Spirit, we gotta ask and we gotta desire it, right? So today we're going to talk about how to receive the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 10:1, this is what it says. And I want to read from the New King James Version, because what we have on the lesson is King James. So I am going to go there myself, and it's Acts 10:1. Let's go there. The book of Acts 10:1. Let's see. And this is what it says. There was a certain man in Caesarea, called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, right? So this was a military rank and probably a captain, right, over a regiment. And verse 2 continues, and it says this, a devout man and one who feared God, right, with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Right. So here we have these two verses go hand in hand. Right. And it talks about Cornelius, that he was a righteous man and he did things that were right. And he feared God, meaning it's not that we are afraid of God, but he had great reverence towards God. And it also says that he gave much money to people in need. Right. And the Bible says he prayed to God always. But right now we're going to find out, and it will be amazing, that even though he did things right, right? Because the word says he's a righteous man. Even though he feared God, he had a prayer and had a prayer life. He didn't have a personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So now it says in verses 3-6, let's go there, verses 3-6, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision, an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Right? So here we're reading, and we just read from Acts 10, 1-6, right? And this man, you know, this is what the verse is talking about. It's talking about Cornelius, right? This man, although he was God-fearing, right, righteous as far as doing things that were right and had a prayer life before God, was sent an angel, the word says, who told him to send for Simon Peter, right, who would tell him what he must do. So we see in Acts now in 10:43 exactly what Peter was instructed to tell him. So let's go to Acts 10:43. Let's jump. And it says in Acts 10:43, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Right? So this is what we're reading. And isn't this amazing? Because this man who had all these things to his credit didn't have a personal relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. And God said, the things you're doing are great, right? I mean, we can hear God saying that to us too, right? A lot of us, you know, we call ourselves Christians, right? And we all fall short. But how is our relationship with God? Because that is key. And I'll tell you, I'll be honest. A lot of times I fall short. And I say, Lord, do I really know you? Like, am I talking to you 24/7? Like, am I failing you? You know, am I falling short? But you know what? God is so, so amazing and so compassionate. And he just says, just pick yourself up and keep going. Like, pick yourself up and just keep the relationship with me. Just continue where you left off. You know, he's not there, you know, waiting with a stick to hit you over the head with. Right. So it's just amazing how merciful God is to us. Right. So here, you know, so what we're seeing here, that God sent an angel down to tell him that he was going to send a man named Peter, and he will tell him what he must do. So we just read in Acts 10:43, when Peter went to Cornelius' house, he said, whosoever, right, believes in him, that means the Lord Jesus Christ, shall receive remission of sins. Now, look what happened here. While Peter yet spoke these words, right, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. This is in Acts 10:44, where it says here, 10:44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word, right? So Cornelius was receiving as he heard of faith in Christ. He put his faith in Christ for the remission of his sins. Remember, he's listening. He's listening to what Peter is saying. He's listening that there's remission of sins through Jesus Christ. There is remission of sins when we have relationship with Christ, when we say yes to the Lord. So as soon as Cornelius, right, heard this, the Holy Spirit fell upon him and all the people. The word says all those that were in that house. And look at what it says in verse 45. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, right? That means they were amazed. They were astonished, mm-hmm. as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, right? That's amazing. So how did they know that? Well, it says in verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They heard them speak in tongues and magnify God. That's how they knew. So every time the Holy Spirit, right, falls on an individual in the New Testament, a gift of the Holy Spirit manifests and gives evidence that they have received the infilling of the Spirit of God. So in the New Testament, they usually spoke in tongues or prophesied. And we just had that experience, right, on Sunday. Pastor Ruth began to speak in tongues, right? There was a word that came forth that people were able to understand. So she spoke in tongues, then she prophesied, but she prophesied in a language that we understood, correct? She was speaking in tongues, which is the Lord's language, but then came the interpretation, right? So it continues on. The lesson says, I got down on my knees one morning, right? So it continues on. Now it's talking about this individual, the one that did this Bible study. He says, I got down on my knees one evening in the field in Dallas, right, in Texas. And God said to this man, I don't know about all this speaking in tongues, right? And I think I said that myself. I don't know what this is all about. Because really, nobody really taught me about speaking in tongues. I mean, I didn't even know what's happening in this church, you know? And this is before I came to PCM. I had no idea. I had no clue. I was clueless, right? So this man, he's saying, I don't know about all this speaking in tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit that people are talking about. But if there's a way, if there's a way I can praise you, God, if there's a way I can magnify you, God, if there's a way I can go beyond, right, beyond our human English language, I want it, right? And this is what we all should desire. If there's a way that we can connect better with God, if there's a way that we can get revelation from God, if there's a way that we can get wisdom and understanding from God, if there's a way that we can speak His language and bring a prophetic word to the congregation, bring a prophetic word to an individual, even to ourselves or even in our families, we should want it. We should want it, right? So this man is saying, well, I began to worship God. And as he began to worship God, the Holy Spirit gave me, he says, he gave him a language. And I think we've all been there. Gave us a language, gave him a language, right? An utterance, right? That hadn't been known to him before or even to us, right? Let's put ourselves there. And we never learned. We never learned this. This is something that happens supernaturally. So the Bible says, let's go to Acts 2:4. Let's go to Acts 2:4. This is what the Bible says. In Acts 2:4. Let's see. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, right? So here we have, you know, this is very clear. Who did the speaking here?
The
people were speaking, but who gave the utterance? The Holy Spirit. It was our speech, but it was the Holy Spirit that was giving them the words to speak, right? So this is how it is. When Pastor Ruth began, and I'm gonna use Pastor Ruth because she was there on Sunday, right? So when she began and we heard it, she began to speak very quietly in tongues, but then they got louder and louder, right? And that's when the church has to bring it down, right? We should all know by now, bring it down, right? And then she began to speak, right? She was speaking, but the Holy Spirit was giving her the utterance to speak. And she brought forth the interpretation, right? So that's clear. Let's go to the book of Luke, right? 11:13. Let's go to Luke 11:13. And it says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Right? So all you have to do right now, if you don't have the utterance of the Holy Spirit, right? All you got to do right now is ask. And believe that you receive, yield yourselves, in other words, surrender and submit yourself to God, begin to worship the Lord, and He will give you an utterance, right, to worship and praise Him in a language you have never, ever learned before. Amen? And that's how it has worked for us, because we're Christians, we're believers, right? We have the infilled of the Holy Spirit. We have spoken in tongues. I believe we have prophesied, or if not, we've given a word of knowledge to different people, a word of discernment, even in our own individual lives. Even God, if you're married, even God will give you a word of knowledge for your spouse and your children and your grandchildren, because the Spirit knows. So when you begin to speak, right, in an unknown language, you're actually speaking the perfect prayer, like we said last week, right? You're speaking the perfect prayer to God. God knows exactly what you are in need of, right? God knows exactly what you should be praying for. But when we speak in tongues and we begin to speak in His language, in communicating with God himself, he's already answering all those prayers. It's already happening. Why we don't get the answers right away? You know what? Everything is in God's appointed time. Maybe he's trying to get other people to get in line so that these things can come to pass. But the word says that as soon as you pray it, it's already done. It's already done. It's like, remember when Daniel was praying from the window, how God told them, your prayers have been heard. But Satan tried to stop it. And I had to send Michael, the archangel, to fight with Gabriel, because Satan was trying to stop this fulfillment of his prayer, right? So it took a little bit longer than what was expected, but it wasn't because God didn't answer. God answered.
Right.
But Satan tries to come in and interrupt, like he does in our lives. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Yes. Right? But it should never take you away from knowing God answered the prayer. Remember, when two or more are gathered together, God answers. It's already done. Yes. And you gotta believe that God's promises are yes and amen.
Yes.
But the best thing we can do, and this is speaking to myself too, is speak every day in tongues. Yes. Worship God in tongues. Put in a, you know, even when you can sing in tongues to God, that just pleases him. It praises him. And I mean, it's a sweet smelling aroma unto God. And we are praying the perfect prayer. If you're in need of something, if you're worried about something, so like we just read, yield to God. Speak in tongues. And start worshiping God. And I'm telling you, God already has the answer. And he's going to deliver it to you the way he knows how you're going to recognize the answer. Many times what happens is we're so distracted, you know, I can talk for myself, so distracted with many little things that God may use somebody else to give you that answer. He may use social media. He may use even like a movie. It could even be in a movie. God will answer you. A dream. God will answer you. I know I had a dream last week, and I usually don't remember my dreams. My daughter's been dreaming more and with more clarity, like she's really, you know, like it's really clear, you know, her dreams. But that's, you know, sometimes we're so busy during the day that in our sleep, God will speak to us, but he's faithful. I don't care how God talks to me, as long as he talks to me. You know what I mean? And he knows our schedule better than we do. I mean, my schedule today was crazy. It started out crazy. I totally forgot to put my alarm on this morning. I mean, last night when I went to bed. I woke up at 8 o'clock, and I start at 8 o'clock, okay? That's how my day started today, okay? You know, my fault, okay? And then it went chaotic throughout the day, and I'm like, oh my God, I got this meeting that just came up. I told the guy 6:30, made it. You know what? It doesn't matter. God gives you the peace. He says, be anxious for nothing. I said, you know what? We're on God's timing. This is gonna get done. This is gonna get done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And here we are, right? We're having Bible studies. We're going deeper in the word. No, we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop. We're going to continue to go deeper in the word. All that to say that God is always speaking.
Yep.
God is always speaking. You need an answer? Speak in tongues. Yeah. We need finances for our building? Let's not look at the checkbook. Speak in tongues. Lord, you know what we need. You know how you know, we need to build this building, but I trust you. You are the source. And I'm just going to speak in tongues because you know the perfect prayer. So I'm just going to speak in tongue, and I'm just going to yield everything to you. And that's it. And and that's what we got to do. You know, it's honestly, it's that simple. We make it hard.
Yeah.
We make it difficult. We're the ones that get anxious about life and things. And God is saying, nope, nope, nope. Just seek me. Just talk to me. And what better way than to talk to God than in his own language? That's why the word of God says, you know, those Christians, those who are called should worship me in spirit. Meaning in spirit, that means vertical, in tongues, in spirit, and in truth. In spirit, you know, not in our own language, in spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows what we are in need of every single day. So every day we should have a prayer language with God. You know, we should be talking to God continuously. When you're driving, when you're in the shower, whenever you have an opportunity, speak in tongues. And I'm speaking to myself because I fall short of that, you know, and this is the time that we cannot slack. Because I'm telling you right now, the enemy is coming. Like every day, the enemy's there to kill, steal, and destroy the ministry that God has given us. Whether it's your home ministry, church ministry, whatever it is, there's a ministry that we are all involved in, and the last thing the enemy wants is to see it come to fruition.
Right.
So we have to be alert. We have to be sober, right? Be vigilant, the word says. Because the enemy is going to and fro to see who's weak, where I can go in and open that door, you know, because he does influence people, right? So we have to be very, very alert. Amen. So let's go to the questions. Describe some of the terms that the Bible uses for salvation. I guess it gave us on the side a bunch of scriptures, right, that relate to question number one. That's what I'm looking for, right?
Oh, I was just writing down some of this. I didn't even look at that.
Yeah, so... Yeah. Yeah, because the last script, the question two goes with the last scripture on the side, on the margin. So 3, 4, 5, 6 scriptures, John 3:3, right? Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Right? We haven't read any of these scriptures. Okay? Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Matthew 25:46 says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So the question is, describe some of the terms that the Bible uses for salvation.
I said, saved by grace, called to a holy life. I'm just thinking of terms, not Bible verses.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's telling you there, the difference.
He said, and repent.
Repent, believe.
You must believe to be saved. Not in the flesh, but in the spirit.
Rebaptized.
Born again, converted, saved, dead in the spirit.
That's right.
In the spirit and righteous.
Yep. That's right. Being born again, conversion, believing and being baptized, having been forgiven, having received the Spirit of Christ and eternal life. Mm-hmm. Right? So all these were found in these verses that we just read.
Yep.
All right, so let's read Acts 11:15. I don't think we've read that. Not sure. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. So how does this verse describe the experience of the baptism with the Holy Spirit?
As they began to speak in tongues.
Yeah, I wish these answers would be more extended. Yeah. Well, the experience is described. Well, the Holy Spirit fell on someone here, right? As I began is a personal noun here. As I began to speak, well, that means the Holy Spirit felt on them and they were able to experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit.
Well, this is one of you, didn't you ask them before? Didn't you reach them before or spoke on it?
I'm thinking of when Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit, I'm thinking this is Peter speaking.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. Watch this.
I think we read from Acts 11. Didn't we read?
I did before I know you touched on that.
I believe so. Yeah, it's about Peter, right?
Yeah, Peter.
So I think Peter was speaking, and he was saying that the Holy Spirit fell out upon them as upon us at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter being one of the original disciples when they were waiting at Pentecost, right?
Right.
The Holy Spirit fell, it came like a rushing mighty wind, right? I don't know if it fell the same way.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's just saying, like what she said before, that the Holy Spirit fell upon them. But she said before about as they did to the circumcision one, the ones that believed, before. Even though they weren't circumcised, they received the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues.
Yeah, we read Acts 11:13 before. So it's talking about Peter.
Right, yeah.
About receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. But this, the book of Acts is mostly about Peter anyway. Mm. When it comes to Pentecost.
Right.
Right. It's just the Bible lessons. Just I wish it would be more descriptive.
I guess if you read the chapter itself, it probably explains it more.
Yeah, because this verse doesn't really
describe it. Exactly.
No.
The experience of baptism, unless you reference back to when the Spirit fell on them as upon us at the beginning, meaning when the Spirit had fallen on Peter, because this is Peter writing.
Yeah, well, just a few verses before. On Acts 10:44, which we read before, is the Holy Spirit falls on the Gentiles. So, it should really reference chapter 10, not chapter 11,
Right.
Because we read 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water?" And he goes on. That these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit, just as we have. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. So it just, I wish it would have referred to other scriptures, not that one, you know?
But I did remember you saying that, you know, before you said that, so that's why.
Yeah, yeah, it referenced back to Acts 10, right?
Yeah, because the verse itself doesn't describe the experience.
No, it doesn't. And that's what it has. Yeah, that's maybe they made a mistake.
But you want to know who's speaking, as he said, as I began to speak.
Right.
Okay, so who's speaking? That's Peter.
That's Peter.
Yeah, that was Peter. Yeah, no, I know that. But yeah. What I'm saying, the way he's saying it.
Yeah, it's not really,
I think,
you know.
Unless you read that whole chapter, you'll know that it's Peter.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't really describe the experience that one has when you receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't describe it, you know, in this Acts 11:15.
Right.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Okay. All right.
Good question.
I know. So. So we got two verses on the margin, so let's read those. John 20:22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And Acts 2:1-4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
That's the experience.
That was the experience.
Question number two.
Right. That's what I was.
Yeah. That's the experience. That's why I said it's got to be referencing this, because Peter says, like, it was on us. And I'm like, well, when it fell on them, it was on Pentecost. So you reference back to Pentecost, that must be what happened with them. And they had that same kind of feeling when you get the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
It was inside you. It's like fire.
Right. Because with the reading, you know, that's what, right?
Mm-hmm.
Acts 11:15, right? That they began to speak with tongues. But Acts 2:1-4 is before that one. So, like you were saying before, you know, tongues of fire and all the Holy Spirit and all that, the Holy Spirit, that's not saying anything there. You're right.
Right, in 15. I'm thinking it's referencing back to Pentecost, because Peter,
right.
It fell upon them as at us in the beginning.
Right.
So the same way it fell on them, the first time the Holy Ghost fell was on Pentecost when they were gathered in the upper room in the beginning.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So the experience was that same kind of experience. Now we went to this page and it's telling you, okay, Acts 2:1-4 is telling you the experience, basically.
Exactly. It's really describing it to the T.
Yes.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. You know, whoever put this together missed it.
They should have put this first before the other.
Yes.
Exactly. So now we know. Make notes. Now we know. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So question three. Okay, so Jesus' disciples received the Holy Spirit, John 20:22, right? But a few days later were actually baptized with the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:1-4. Look at and compare these facts. All right, so it wants you to compare these facts. All right.
From John 20:22?
Well, yeah.
Acts 2:1-4.
Right, Acts because 2. In John 20:22... I think what he's saying here, that the Lord's disciples received the Holy Spirit, but a few days later were actually baptized with the Holy Spirit.
He prepared them to receive the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's the way I see it.
I'm gonna go to John 20:22 on my Bible because we're dissecting the word here. Because remember, John 20:22 is after the Lord resurrected, you know, after the Lord died. John 20:22, and I believe it's when he was appearing to all the all the disciples, right?
Okay. This is prior to Pentecost.
This is prior to Pentecost, but after his crucifixion.
Oh, okay. So he was preparing them to John, receive the Holy Spirit.
Right. John 20:22. Because if you go to John 20:22, the tomb is empty. And then in that particular section, that's when the apostles get commissioned by the Lord. And he's probably telling, wait for it, right?
Right, yeah. Okay, so John 20:22 is preparing them to receive the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Acts 2:1-4 is when they receive the Holy Spirit. Okay.
Yes. So 22, it says that he breathed on them, right? And he just said, receive the Holy Spirit. But the manifestation, the utterance didn't come until Pentecost.
They weren't filled, right?
So it's almost like us, right? We receive the Holy Spirit. When we're saved, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. But the manifestation and the experience doesn't come until we ask. And we ask the Lord, I want to receive tongues. I want to speak in your language. Amen. This is a separate experience, which we spoke about last week. It's three different things: salvation, water baptism, and the Holy Spirit. Right. Three separate experiences.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So this is what it's saying. So this is after the crucifixion, but before Pentecost.
Yeah. Okay.
Where he says, wait for it. Right?
Yeah.
So, all right. All right, this is good. You got this. All right, question number 4. All right, wants us to read Acts 1:8. What is the purpose of the baptism with the Holy Spirit? So let's read Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So what is the purpose of receiving the baptism with the Holy Spirit?
To receive power, to be witnesses.
That's right. That's the
to carry the word.
You're all correct. It when we receive the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, it empowers us for ministry, for service, to be witnesses to others. Because now we have the Spirit of the Lord living in the inside of us, and we can actually, now we're speaking His language. And He'll show us and tell us what we need to do, what we need to say, how we need to say it. Like if we ask God, show me something about this person. He's going to tell you. We just don't practice that. A lot of us don't practice that. Lord, show me something about this person or give me a word that I can speak to this person. A lot of us don't even pray before we speak to somebody. And that's for many Christians. I've heard a lot of prophetic words. They're prophesying with the flesh, carnally.
That's not prophecy. That's prophesying.
Yeah. And this is why the Lord says, test every word that you see from man. Because remember, it is man speaking. But if the Holy Spirit is speaking, it is His utterance coming out.
Yeah.
So, and unfortunately, there are many so-called prophets that they're not really prophesying the word of God. They're going by feelings. I mean, we just had that experience with Mikey and his girlfriend. They actually left a church that they started going like a couple months ago already.
Oh.
Again. A prophetic word came forth and they ended up with naming their church, and it brought a lot of confusion. And you know, God is not into confusion.
No, at all.
It brought a lot of chaos, confusion. And then they began to hear word that was more carnal than spiritual. Mm-hmm. And they left. They left. And I had attended the church. I had Reverend Lisa go. She visited the church too. And we got the same, like the first time I went, I said, oh my God, great message, this and that. After that, somewhere along the line, something happened. It fell. And now it was the flesh speaking. So anyway, they left. Because you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know when your spirit's uneasy.
Spirit to see if it's of God. So.
Exactly. And he's not into chaos, confusion, and it brought a lot. Let me tell you, it brought a lot of harm. Mm. It brought a lot of harm that even till this day, you know, because it, you know, I don't know if Benito knows.
It discourages people.
Because Mikey's girlfriend was literally kind of ordained as the prophetess of the house and everything else, and she wasn't even aware that she was going to be ordained as such. So it just, a lot of it brought a lot of chaos, confusion, and they were like, what is going on? So it wasn't good, okay? But anyway, so they went back to the, you know, where they're supposed to be right now. So anyway, just wanted to share that because it's a reality.
Yeah, that's so important because, like you said, so much confusion. You hear so much thing coming from the pulpit.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you know, like you said, asking the Holy Spirit, you know, when you go for a service, you know, you should be prepared and pray what's going to come from that minister that is God's word. And then the Holy Spirit showed you when it's not God speaking, when it's not the word of God, when it's man.
Yeah,
and,
like,
you know, absolutely.
Yeah, like Sunday, you know, I can use Sunday too. Sunday, you know, Sunday, I just felt there was more because I was getting a translation. I said it's the first, you know, I usually understand there was certain words that were like Spanish, so I was picking up on that. But I said, but there's more. Like when she stopped, right? There's more. There's more. And you know what? If I let myself, you know, go with the, you know, with my flesh, I wouldn't have said anything. But I just, there was a pull. There was a pull. Like, I got to say something. There's more. I got to say something. I don't know how to describe it. I don't.
Like your spirit,
it's like bubbling up at the bottom, the pit of your stomach.
It's like it didn't fill you up yet.
Yeah, like
so you knew that there had to be.
There was a bubbling there that that you gotta say something, like you gotta speak out. You know what I mean? Like
yes, I know exactly. What so,
and you know, we're all I'm in a learning process here.
We all are.
So
speaking on Sunday when Pastor Ruth finished.
Yeah.
Sorry, Melissa, you wasn't at church, so you don't know what we're talking about, but it's okay. I knew there was more. And it was bubbling up in me, but I was like, no, I'm gonna just sit back and I'm not gonna say anything. Then when you came, I was like, oh, okay, good. I was like, so when Pastor Ruth said, before she started her message, that if it's in you to say, then you have to be bold enough to say it. And I know she was talking to me, and I was like, yeah, I know, but I was like,
It's all of us, you know.
Right. I was like,
I'm sure there was more people that received that.
Amen.
And they're just not coming forward. And prophetic words should be there every Sunday. Mm. You know what I mean? I mean, Dorcas, she's prophetic.
Yeah.
And we all can prophesy, right?
Yes,
the word says. So I believe it wasn't just me and you. I believe that was more. But people are afraid to speak up. Because they may think, I mean, that was me many times. I said, oh, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong? No, it doesn't matter. Just speak forth. Whatever you receive, if the Spirit's giving it to you, you gotta speak
up. Your mouth and it'll come out.
It does. It did with me. I was like, okay.
Just open your mouth and it'll come out.
Yeah. But that was, All right, so. All right, Vinny.
But I did do a lesson on prophecy. So if you go back to my lesson back in November.
Last year.
November or October. I did a message on prophecy.
That's right. Yeah.
Scriptures and everything.
And so. It should be there. In the recordings.
So visit Beacon of Light Church website.
Beacon of Light.
That's right.
Gotta get used to that.
Beacon of Light.
Yeah.
We're beaconeers.
We are.
Beaconeers. Not buccaneers, but beaconeers.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. So we got three more questions, right? We got Acts 2:38-39 and 1 Corinthians 1:7. Okay, so is the baptism with the Holy Spirit for us today? So let's read the scriptures. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. 1 Corinthians 1:7, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So is the baptism of the Holy Spirit for us today?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right, it doesn't change.
Yeah, the gifts of the Holy Spirit will cease at the second coming of Christ, but not until then. Second coming. Mm-hmm. A lot of churches believe that he came already. And that's it.
Yeah.
That he already came a second time. Said no.
Yeah, it feels like the second temple, where the third temple is already built also. I've heard teachings like that,
going, yeah,
I don't think so.
Yeah. Luke 11:13, I believe we read this already. If you have not received the baptism with the Holy Spirit, what should you now do?
Yeah, we read that.
Yeah. And it's in the last sentence. That's it. That's all you got to do. That's right. All right, and Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Will you ask, receive, speak, and worship God in the prayer language that God gives you?
Yes.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
You will speak, but it is the Holy Spirit that will give you the language.
Amen.
The utterance. Amen. So this Bible study was pretty clear, right? Except for that one question. Except for that one question, right? But it's just good to know. Any comments, suggestions before I close out the recording?
It was very self-explanatory. It was very an easy one, I have to say. You know.
It's very clear. You know?
Very clear, yeah. Yeah, but it's got to be clear that you need the three. You have to confess, you have to have the water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's what I have there.
Amen.